This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
When you're good to mama, mama's good to you.
I turn to you like a flower leaning toward the sun. I turn to you, 'cause you're the only one.
And when I fall down, I have to pick myself back.
This is Stand Up Straight on Joy 94.9.
So, as most of you would probably be aware, today's World AIDS Day, and a day for remembrance, for healing, reminders, and perhaps even some reconciliations. And many people will and have spoken of their challenges around living with HIV. And our guests tonight have focused on stigma and discrimination, but more specifically about disclosure. So tonight we're going to welcome to the Stand Up Straight Studios Darren Visor, who is the performer and creator, and Tasha Flowers, who is an actor in an innovative and exciting and probably a bit confronting production called Stigma that is part of Midsummer 2017. Welcome, Darren and Tasha.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much for joining us. Also in the studio, we have the lovely Stephanie and the equally lovely Clayton, who is across the desk making us sound beautiful. Stephanie.
Hi, Michelle. So lovely to have you back in the studio.
It is,
and I've missed you.
It has. It's been a sad time listening from a distance and not being part of the amazing shows. I've had some fabulous guests.
We have. We've had a really great time, but it is just lovely to have you.
So thank you, everyone. And throughout the hour, we'll be playing some music and getting to know the folks, and in particular what the story is behind Stigma, although the name may not just be what people might think. And you can send us a message throughout on 0427JOY949 or send us a message on air at joy.org.au. And Mushin is on the desk, so you can ring him up and ask us any questions as well, 1300JOY949. So without further ado, so you're part of Midsummer 2017. Now, I know, Darren, you had an extraordinarily confronting production as part of Midsummer 2013, also around HIV, but from much more of a personal perspective. Tell us a little bit about that.
That's correct. No One Likes Me started back in 2011, launched in 2013 at Midsummer. It had a second remount this year in 2017 as well. Basically, it was an autobiographical solo where I talked through my lived experiences of bullying, sexuality, prejudice, and then I talked about my HIV status.
Was that a kind of a cathartic experience? Do you remember the reason why you wanted to do it initially?
Yeah, well, because it's like, as a theatre maker, and Tash can also talk about this, like I wanted to kind of storytell something personal. I wanted to share my experiences of being, coming out as gay, coming to accept my homosexuality, the bullying, the parenting, and all those kind of relationship things. So, you know, I wanted to start there, get it out of my system, so then I could start to create other stuff.
But do you ever get it out of your system?
No, because we're using it for Stigma, and we're about to unpack all of that in this studio.
So we'll talk about that in a second, but I know when I went to see No One Likes Me, which was at La Mama, very small, intimate space, and it's really in your face. And there was a scene, and I hope you don't mind me raising this, where you become almost animalistic, and it was symbolic, I think, of the relationship you had with your father. Can you talk about that a little
bit? Yeah, well, that was a character which was animalistic. He was, the character came from a boar, so I used an acting technique called you have an animal. So I based my father's character off a boar, and I portrayed him from part of my experiences with my father. I saw him as hostile and aggressive, and I was very fearful of my father and that relationship. So I portrayed that in an animalistic, aggressive, alpha male, homophobic type of being who, you know, was quite abhorrent towards gays.
And his own son.
And his own son,
flesh,
yes.
And blood.
Yes, his own flesh and blood.
And Darren, what is your relationship with your father now?
Well, he passed on.
Okay.
But it was very my mum's going to kill me, but like I felt I didn't have the best relationship with my father. Mm. I felt there was a lot of, you know, love and stuff that I yearned from my father, and so that kind of was portrayed through the work.
And was any of that resolved before he died, or was this your opportunity to try and resolve some of it through theatre?
Well, yeah, not, it wasn't really resolved, no. My dad wasn't the greatest talker. I didn't, I talked better with my mum. And so it was kind of resolved as a cathartic experience when I went and did the work. It wasn't the reason why I did the work. I just wanted to storytell and create theatre, and I thought I've got something to say, and I wanted to say it, and so I said it.
And it's a mix between... It was acting and music and dance, and it's so highly charged,
yep,
with energy and anger and emotion and everything, isn't it?
Yeah, well, that's part of my practice, and this is what we're unpacking in Stigma. I'm a choreographer and a director, so I'm a trained actor and a trained classical and contemporary dancer. So we use both mediums to create work. So if you look at movement and you look at text and what the actor and the dancer does, and I blend those. From those extremes, I blend the two, which then can just be sound, you know, that and it can be this visceral, porous body that is talking without necessarily text.
You use some amazing words. I'm already excited. We're going to go for a song and a break, and we're actually going to have a little bit of a chat to Tasha as well. You're on Stand Up Straight on Joy.
Joy 94.9 is made possible with thanks to over 300 volunteers who work hard every day of the week to keep us out loud and proud on air and online.
December 5 is International Volunteers Day. Joy 94.9 would like to thank all of us volunteers who help keep Joy on the air all year round.
Joy 94.9 thanks all of its amazing volunteers for their invaluable contribution to the station.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Joy 94.9, your voice, your radio station. HIV is still here and it's on the move. Community highlights from today, World AIDS Day.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Richard Keane and I'm president of Living Positive Victoria. People with HIV have always been engaged in HIV prevention. We were delighted this year, along with our PrepaCorp partners and in the presence of the Minister, to launch our Double Happiness campaign, which puts treatment as prevention alongside PrEP. As somebody who has lived with HIV for over 25 years, I couldn't help but take on the internalised stigma of those early days where people living with HIV had been historically cast as the problem or vectors of transmission. The scientific evidence is now clear. Treatment adherence and viral load suppression greatly reduce the chance of forward transmission of HIV to virtually zero. We are finally acknowledged as an integral part of the solution, and it is changing the way that we see ourselves. We look forward to hearing from the Minister, Jill Hennessy, shortly, and our keynote speaker today will be Associate Professor Edwina Wright. Then we have our speakers from Living Positive Victoria on the realities of living with HIV and how today and into the future, people living with HIV are key partners in the HIV response. Recent data from the Kirby and Burnett Institute suggests that Victoria is within touching distance of the bold 90-90-90 targets that we had set for ourselves. Recent data shows that 88% of Victorians now know their HIV status. 84% are on treatments, and 90% of those on treatment have attained a suppressed viral load. And I believe those figures will be updated today. This reveals, however, that 12% of people living with HIV in this state still do not know that they are HIV positive. And just one small snapshot. Over 50% of heterosexual people diagnosed in Victoria each year are late diagnosis, with significant related health issues to be addressed at the time of receiving that news. Continuing to challenge HIV stigma is essential if we are to engage in that last 12% of people into testing, into treatment, and ongoing peer support services, because HIV is still here and it's on the move.
To hear more World AIDS Day highlights, head to joy.org.au/joycommunityhighlights. World AIDS Day 2016, thanks to our community partners, Living Positive Victoria, VAC, the Burnett and Doherty Institutes, and Joy 94.9.
Be an ally. Talk it out. Educate yourself. Stand up straight on Joy 94.9. We are talking with Darren and Tasha, who are the creators and actors as part of a play. No, it's not a play. It's an experience, would you say?
Live theatre.
Live theatre. As part of, it's called Stigma, part of Midsummer 2017. So we're going to have a bit of a chat now to Tasha, who is the only female in the production.
Are yes, you? Well, I guess I'm the only female performer. But an important part of this project is that we're talking with a range of women of different ages who are living with HIV.
So are those stories mm-hmm. that are gathered, is that what you then perform or dance the story of, or is that what happens?
Well, it definitely informs the work we do. So it's a devised piece.
What does that mean for those that don't know?
Somebody asked me this the other day and I just said, it means basically we're making it up. we're writing
but not on the spot. So does that mean you create it together?
Yeah, that's right. Ah. So Darren is directing it and we're drawing on lived experiences and stories of people living with HIV, but really it's a collaborative process.
Yeah.
With the community and with each other.
So I'm wondering whether you have, prior to either auditioning or being involved, mm-hmm. did you tell your friends and or family, and what were their reactions about being involved in? This is just not a musical. This is not just, you know, some pantomime type theatre here. This is really cutting edge. Mm. So how did they feel?
Well, I've been not hugely surprised, but pleasantly surprised that a lot of my friends are really interested in this. They think it's really great.
But what do they ask you, though? Interests them?
Well, do you know, what I think about straight away is that I've been asking a lot of my friends, what do you know about HIV?
Right.
Have you been tested for HIV? And none of my girlfriends, I don't know any girls or women who have been tested for HIV.
Have you?
Yes.
So you did?
Very recently, for the first time. It had never been on my radar, to be quite honest, and I guess this is part of the stigma that exists out there around HIV. I just thought, I don't need to worry about it. And when I really, I've started to really examine that, why did I think I didn't need to worry about it?
Did you have an answer?
Well, yeah, I think to be really... blunt and honest.
That's what the space is for.
I think it comes down to, I didn't need to worry about HIV because I'm a woman, because I'm straight, because I'm, quote unquote, sensible, educated, which is an awful thing to realise, that I carry this stigma as well. And it's been really eye-opening for me. And I think, and for my friends and family too, that... there's such a strong association around HIV being something that affects only gay men.
Mm. Tasha, with your testing, I'm just interested to know, as a woman, what that involves. Because I was tested back in the early 90s and I know that things have changed enormously since then.
Mm. It was so interesting. So first of all, I was quite nervous leading up to getting tested, and I went on the internet and had a look, and I found a few different clinics and sexual health centres. And I remember I found a video on one particular sexual health centre that had information about getting the HIV test, and it was specifically and only targeted at gay men. Mm. There was not a single mention of if you're a woman, come in and get tested. If you're heterosexual, come in and get tested. If you're transgender, it was really only for gay men.
Did that offend you, or what did that stir up in you?
At that point, it didn't offend me, but I just keep sort of surprising myself at how strong, I guess, this stigma or that branding of HIV.
Because the thing is, that could have reinforced your belief in, I'm safe, I'm okay, you know, I'm not part of this group.
Yeah.
But instead you pushed past that.
And I really had to push. When I went to the sexual health centre...
What do you mean? You had to... So they weren't interested?
Well...
Really?
I saw the nurse, the triage nurse, and she asked, what brings you in today? And I said, I'd like to get a HIV test. I'd like to be tested for STIs. I've realised I haven't done that before. And, I've had... pap smears before, I've booked in to get skin checks. In my experience, I've never had to justify asking for a test. And I really felt I sort of had to justify why. And she, was asking. So I was told by two nurses repeatedly, this is a blood-borne virus. It really mostly affects gay men. They say gay men in Australia. If I wasn't in this project and I didn't feel it was important for me to have this test, and I feel it's important for everybody, heterosexual, gay, women, men, to have it, I would have thought, oh, okay, I'm at extremely low risk, it doesn't affect me, I don't need to worry about it. And this is after, this nurse had asked me so few questions. She'd only just met me. And I guess, I look white, I'm educated, I speak well, so there's assumptions.
She's making a whole lot of assumptions about your life, based on the way you look and present.
Yeah.
Is that stigma from the nurse's point of view? Is it lack of education? Is it narrow-minded? Is it all of the above? Is it an assumption of you, Tasha, and your appearance and therefore you, whatever she was thinking... I would imagine that I would be furious. Did you feel you had to justify why you wanted to be there and it's my right and I can do whatever I want? I've got every reason to be here.
Yeah, I have felt that a bit. I've been a bit surprised that at times I felt a bit indignant. Why do I have to keep, justifying? But I think it is, it is true in Australia, I think, that HIV does mostly affect gay men, but we know that globally more than half of the people living with HIV are women. And it doesn't matter how many heterosexual or gay women in Australia are affected by it, there are women who are living with it. Mm. And the stigma is real for them as much as it is for gay men.
I'd like to, when we come back in a second, and have a delve into a little bit more about what that stigma is, because there's stigma around... You have, in a sense, indirectly, Tasha, experienced that stigma. So somebody perhaps has had this judgment of you, well, have you had, lots of partners, or they're potentially making a judgment of you because you're there to have the test. Instead of being proactive, it's almost like she was assuming that you were being reactive. Mm. And I find that really interesting. We are in the studio with Darren and Tasha and Stephanie Michelle. You're on Stand Up Straight. We'll be back in a moment.
Now, what about lesbian porn?
That's Stephanie. Stand Up Straight on Joy 94.9.
That Stephanie is a bit crazy and she just asks the hard questions.
They're so mean to me.
We have in the studio Darren Visor and Tasha Flowers, who are part of the amazing production. I can't wait to see this production called Stigma, which is part of Midsummer 2017. And as the end of December and early January comes around, you will start to hear that Midsummer is one of the most extraordinary events, I think, on Melbourne's calendar. It's not just LGBTI events, it's everything. So can't wait for it next year. So Tasha was telling us that she went and had an HIV test. Two questions. One, did you feel brave? And secondly, what happened with the results? Do they give you it on the spot, or do they ring you? Do they send you a letter?
Mm-hmm. firstly, I felt very nervous. Mm. I felt nervous when I called up the clinic to book a test because I thought I was unsure of what to say and how to ask for it. And already, again, I guess there's this embarrassment of, you know, having to talk about sex and your sexual health and fear of any judgment or assumptions.
It's interesting, again, isn't it?
And then going into the clinic, again, yes, I was nervous. And there's, you know, there's this big screening tool that you answer on a computer behind a curtain. There's very secret, private questions you answer, and a lot about your genitals and, you know, your sexual life. And so I was surprised. You know, I really noticed physically, like, I was feeling a bit hot and my heart rate was quicker. And in answer to your second question, I was told, it hasn't been a week since the test, but I was told, no news is good news. If you don't hear from us by next week, you're all clear.
Oh my God.
Then the nurse said, if you do hear from us, it will be chlamydia.
Oh my God.
So
that's shocking.
We're laughing and in disbelief, yeah. But isn't that this is our
what health. About a mental state, you know, like yeah. to say.
Was
hey.
There and this is kind of a question for both of you. Has there been throughout your, and we're going to talk about you in a second, Darren, but any counselling or attempt at counselling or referral services or
anything? Nothing for me. I have heard, you know, and I've spoken with a couple of women who have said that, you know, there should be, and, you know, pre-counselling before the test, after the test, obviously, you know, who can come with you? Who will you tell if the result is positive? There's nothing.
You're left hanging.
Totally assumed and implied to me that I'm fine.
In this case, though, I think the counselling really should have gone to the healthcare professional who was undertaking the testing.
Yeah, I agree. And like, that's what today at World AIDS Day, there was a huge focus on women today. It was amazing. I think what is lacking is there. That's actually where the system needs to change, and it comes down to the contact points when you go into triage and you go and, like as Tash went today, to have that experience. Basically, that I think that attitude should not have been there, and that comes down to the HIV being still being a homosexual gay brand, and it is all in the branding, and I think that needs to change and we need to rebrand it.
I think that's a really interesting turn of phrase though as well, Darren, that you say branding.
Yeah.
Because I don't think people view HIV AIDS as a branding, perhaps. They just think it's this gay man's disease
This whole project has opened up a lot of conversations, and I was chatting to a very good friend of mine, Barry Robinson, and we've been unpacking stigma and what it is, and we were having a dialogue about it being a gay brand. And this whole process for me, one of my goals is to destigmatize stigma.
How do you define stigma then?
Well, that's right. And from where I'm sitting for this project, for me, it is about Tasha's experience. It's about my experience. It's everyone's individual lived experiences of stigma. And that can be not HIV related. It can be stigma from being black, white, fat, different race. Although it's completely different stigma, there is that similar parallel, even though the experiences are different.
So you've had, 18 years of, and tell us why it's 18 years.
Well, it's 18 years ago. I call him my live-in boyfriend, was born today, and he's been living with me for 18 years. I was diagnosed on World AIDS Day in London. So today it's 18.
18 years.
18 years old. He's legal. He's legal, so he's allowed to drink.
So isn't that really interesting? So then your attitude to, as not seeing your life taking a downward spiral, although perhaps there have been times, but you see this as a celebratory day for you. Now, is that like rebranding?
Only now. Yeah, only now. And I mentioned this on social media today. Only now, it's taken me 18 years to be so comfortable within my body that I can come out and actually comfortably talk about my HIV status. I don't care anymore. It sucks to live with HIV. It sucks to receive a stigma. I hate it, and it's abhorrent. But only now am I confident enough to say, you know what, I'm going to do something about it. But it's taken me this long. Look, there's so many young kids out there who just grab the Bull by the Horns. And they're out there doing Positive Speaker Bureau. They're out in the community so yeah. young and so early. I wasn't one of those people. I'd see all these young kids newly diagnosed. They're straight out there, you know, with advocacy, which is great. But it took me some time.
Do you remember what your first reaction was when you found out?
Look, I was, you know, I wanted to die. I wanted to kill myself, if I was being completely honest. My father's reaction was, you know, didn't help.
Which, do you want to go into that?
Well, he was like, basically, he said, when I told my family, he said to me, you know, you're not a man. You should not have told the family. You should have kept it to yourself. And it made me feel like killing myself because it was just horrid, you know.
And there's your stigma.
That's it.
It's the beginning of your stigma. Yeah.
But isn't that interesting? Because I would have thought, having understood what you told me about your father previously, that perhaps you wouldn't have told him. But I think it's incredibly brave that you did tell your family.
Well, you're so overwhelmed with emotion. And I've chatted about this before, the internalised stigma, which is inherent in the branding of HIV right back since the 70s, 80s epidemic stages, where I was in fear anyway. And so then when I came back from London, it was almost like a blurred out, like I wasn't coping. And so I just, you know what, I have to tell people, and then I had to tell my family because I was emotionally unstable.
How do you decide who to tell? And then the same question also for you, Tasha, as well, being involved in this, who do you decide to tell and not tell? So firstly, who, for you, Darren?
Look, I told some of my close friends in London who was there at the time to kind of, you know, get support just to... And then when I came home, it just had to be my family. They're your blood. It's a blood-borne virus. You know?
Yeah. Were you prepared for rejection or people to throw you out in the street, so to speak,
My experience was... I don't know. I was so overwhelmed. I couldn't decipher what decisions to make. You just took one moment at a time to deal with when the doctor told me that my results came back positive, it was really like this lightning bolt that went through my whole body and I just shivered. It was like a... And so you can't describe it. You feel like you just... I can't put words... to it. Yeah, that's why I storytell it.
Darren, did you initially take the test because you thought you were at risk, or did you just do it as a matter of course?
Look, I had an experience where I would talk about it and No One Likes Me, where basically the guy pretty much kind of infected me and kind of knew about it and didn't really tell me. And during the sexual encounter, there was an exchange of put a condom on. He wouldn't. I was drunk. I was on substances at the time. And I was making some poor choices. And when I insisted to put a condom on, he wouldn't. And then it happened. And then twice he came back to the club I was working and he was like, have you had a test? I'm like, no. And he came back a week later, the day after I found out, and still said to me, have you had a test? And it just, you know, from my viewpoint, it was this person who infected me kind of knowingly.
So you had to deal with anger on top of a whole lot of other emotions.
But it was fear because he was like this alpha AFL player. He was hot male, and I was really quite scared because I thought maybe he might bash me and he might think that I've given it to him. But I knew in my heart of hearts from that circumstance it was him who he infected me.
Tasha, I'm wondering, have you heard these types of stories from Darren? And I'm mesmerised as he's speaking. Do you find the same thing, and is this kind of what you've experienced through this process? I know you're not performance mode yet, but you're story gathering and that sort of thing at the moment. So how do you feel when you hear this sort of story?
Oh, I'm very moved. It's incredibly powerful to hear Darren's story and to, you know, the women I've met who have shared their story. I'm in huge admiration. It's incredibly brave. And it's something, like I say, it was just not on my radar. I was so unaware of.
Yeah.
And Darren, how much of your story actually influences the production?
Well, of course, being the creative lead, it's going to be my lived experiences that are going to come through the work, because we're also working with two boys, Sam Duncan and Rory Godbold, some wonderful actors, as well as Tasha. So they get to work I get to storytell through their bodies and voice my lived experiences, plus also the HIV positive community that we engage with, because it's not just about my lived experiences, it's about the community we're working with.
Yeah.
So we've already had a first stage development where a community member came in, an older gentleman who... older, that's terrible, I'm sorry if you're listening.
Okay. Lovely gentleman.
Yeah. Lovely gentleman. Anyway, he's adorable. Came in to share his experience, and we are engaging other members of the community through some workshops that are coming up. And Tasha's already engaging with positive women at the moment to share their experiences. So it's not just mine, but of course it's going to have my take because I'm the lead. I'm the creative lead. I'm directing and choreographing it, and I'm not performing, FYI. It's the three actors, so I'm not in it. I'm actually the director, which
is great.
Is it hard
to step back from that?
Well, there's a process, because when you give a show over, I do a ritual, kind of go, I now hand the show over to you. I can't do any more. Take it. And that way I take away control, because there's a bit of controlling and directing, and then I give it to the artist so then they can have it.
But isn't that a beautiful process, though, because you've created it, and it very much a collaborative effort.
Yeah, together we've created it.
Yes, and then you can actually sit back, maybe not enjoy and relax, but sit back and then do you feel a lot of pressure on your shoulders, Tasha?
Honestly, it's a real honour and a pleasure to work on something that... has a lot of meaning behind it, and I feel actually just incredibly supported. And Darren already has been, really great in sharing, this creative process, and I feel like it really is such a collaboration.
It is. You speak quite glowingly of each other. It's quite a beautiful experience. We're going to come back and have a little bit of a chat about the types of people that you've been collaborating with and how you're involving the rest of the community. You're on Stand Up Straight on Joy.
HIV is still here and it's on the move.
Community highlights from today, World AIDS Day.
I now am very pleased to introduce the Honourable Jill Hennessy, the Minister for Health and Minister for Ambulance Services in the Labor Government.
World AIDS Day encourages all Australians to be aware of HIV, to remind us that we need to work together to take action to reduce transmission and to ensure that people living with HIV can fully participate in the life of the community free from stigma and discrimination. And this year, as has already been outlined, our World AIDS Day theme is HIV is still here and it's on the move. And HIV is still with us. We still have, around 7,400 people with HIV living in Victoria. Thanks to the tireless work of scientists and clinicians, most importantly, affected communities, AIDS as an individual and public issue, health issue in Victoria has essentially been eliminated. And today, in most cases, it can be prevented by early access to support and treatment. But what remains as one of our great and grand challenges is HIV. HIV prevention is the key to achieving virtual elimination of new HIV transmissions by 2020, a goal that all Australian health ministers have committed to. And elements of our response have included pre- and post-exposure prophylaxis, treatment as prevention, the promotion of risk reduction practices, and the elimination of stigma and discrimination. And earlier this year, I was really delighted to be part of the launch of the Double Happiness Campaign, an initiative of Living Positive Victoria and the PrEP Accord Partners. And it's an initiative that focuses on improving community-level understanding of both PrEP and treatment as prevention. And those two pillars are essential. It was a spectacular event, and I want to commend all of those involved for the work that they're doing. There was also some pretty spectacular cupcakes at that launch as well. But I know that many of you in this room already know that PrEP changes lives. It is a very effective HIV prevention tool, and one that offers great hope and optimism about a future where HIV is virtually eliminated. And for those reasons, the Victorian Government was very delighted to join with the Burnett Institute, the Victorian AIDS Council, Alfred Health, to co-fund and co-design a public health research study for PrEP X. And there has been incredible uptake of this. And I think it shows just how keen Victorians were to take effective prevention measures to protect themselves and to maintain their health, the health of the community. And today I'm really delighted to confirm that we'll be expanding that PrepX study to include rural and regional Victorian access sites.
To hear more World AIDS Day highlights, head to joy.org.au/joy-community-highlights. World AIDS Day 2016, thanks to our community partners, Living Positive Victoria, VAC, the Burnett and Doherty Institutes, and Joy 94.9.
Hi, this is Adelaide, and you're listening to my mum, Stephanie, and Michelle on Stand Up Straight on Joy 94.9.
If you would like to send a message in or a question to Darren or Tasha, you can send us a message on 0427JOY949 or email us on air@joy.org.au, just like Melina has. So thank you very much. She says, love your style. She's also mentioned that she loves Nick Hollis and his passion as well, who is a huge advocate.
Advocate,
would
yeah,
you say?
Yeah, yeah, a huge advocate in the community, yeah.
We have had another message come in relation to Tasha was saying that she went and had an HIV test. So I'll just read this out. It's from Matthew. So thanks, Matthew, for sending and taking the time as well. This is a horrible experience you're talking about. My clinic couldn't have been more supportive when I got tested after a confirmed high-risk exposure. They explained everything, put my mind at ease, and when the results came back negative, continued to support me with regular testing, etc. See, that's great. I'm a gay man who went to a high contact clinic who specialise in sexual health. Straight people would get the same support there, but nobody should have to seek out such a place to get such amazing support. And that's great. Thank you, Matthew. If you wanted to mention the name of that place, we would be happy to if you want to. So thank you. Projects like this, like yours, don't come around because you've got really deep pockets and you're loaded with cash at all. It ain't going to happen,
no.
Isn't it? So
no.
Tell us, you've got a POSSIBLE campaign as well.
Yes, so we have a POSSIBLE campaign up. At the moment it's self-funded. We have a bit of support from Living Positive, from VAC, so thank you, VAC. Living Positive Victoria is supporting it as well, so thank you, LPV. The Space Dance Centre is sponsoring it. So we are actually asking, doing a crowdfunding campaign. There's a post up on Stand Up Straight at the moment, so if you jumped onto your Stand Up Straight Facebook page, mm-hmm. There's also, you'll see the POSSIBLE campaign. So we've got just under $1,000 to meet our pledge. So I'd love people to do some pledging on World AIDS Day for us, just so we meet our target. There's also my email on your Stand Up Straight Facebook page. And the reason why the email is there is because we are asking the HIV positive community to come into some workshops, which there's four of them, which Tash can tell more about the workshops.
Yeah, yes. So the workshops are really an opportunity to share your story in a really safe and confidential space, in a really creative way.
Is it recorded or videoed or
both?
No, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But again, I think it's important to say we'll be obviously confidential and people be in control of how much you want to share. If you don't want to be named, that's totally fine. But
do you have a criteria?
And they don't have, sorry to cut in, but yeah. They don't have to share. So this is about setting up a space where people who have living with or affected by HIV can come into a creative workshop, work with some very talented professional actors, work on how to explore their stigma, their internalized stigma, share their stories in the space. They could just come and watch. There's no judgments.
Oh, what a love. So for somebody that's perhaps maybe they're not out to the rest of their family with their status or anything like that, so it's even a bit of a, so as you say, in a really nurturing space. So do you... You've been in contact with many women so far. So what sort of age group or background? Are they married, old, young? What sort of...
It really varies.
Yeah.
We're working with, middle-aged, married women, mothers, younger women around my age in their 20s.
Wow. What surprised you about the women that you've met?
Oh, well, a lot. I mean, like I said before... I, was part of the stigma that exists in thinking that HIV doesn't affect women. Women don't have to think about it. And I'm surprised at, how vitriolic some of the, I spoke with a woman the other day who's received really, just hideous hate mail.
Oh.
you know, anonymous hate mail, and all, you know, similar to what Darren was talking about with the experience of disclosing to his parents that, you know, her parents really blamed her, were really disappointed, and the rejection that people face, and particularly in intimate relationships, sexual context.
Because we touched on that before about disclosure, and I know one of the themes, I suppose, for want of a better word, is about disclosing as you're entering into sexual relationships. So that must be fraught with horrendous levels of danger.
That's the whole concept of this project. It's the whole lead-in theme is stigma around sexual relationships and what that is. Even though, of course, you can catch sounds terrible. HIV can be transmitted through, you know, intravenous needle, blood transfusion, mother to baby. It's not just one way, but we kind of used the sexual kind of contact as a way of, in a way, rebranding that, you know. HIV has always been related to just sex, hence the branding of it just being gay, deviant men who have gay sex, and so they're to blame because they're guilty.
But we cannot, you know, we all have sex, and we are all involved in intimate relationships, and we all want to be loved and accepted, and already that's something that's really difficult for everybody to navigate, and is often fraught with fear of rejection.
So are these the sorts of stories that you'd really like to have people come for? And you're always looking for people, aren't you?
Yeah, absolutely. So if anybody out there is listening and who'd like to get involved in this project, we have 4 workshops, 2 in December, 2 in January. FYI, this is a development. It just happens to be a very public showing. This project is going to have a full season in 2018 for Midsummer, most likely at La Mama Theatre. Thank you, La Mama Theatre. They're such a supportive, wonderful independent theatre community. Mm-hmm. We wouldn't be doing this without them. Thanks to Ned, and big shout out to you guys and Caitlin and Liz. So please get in contact by coming onto your website and looking for my email on your Stand Up Straight, and then you can come and get involved and share your experiences.
And Darren, what sort of a time commitment would people need to make?
Workshops, 2.5 hours on a Sunday. First one's in actually Sunday week, the 11th, at the PLC, thanks to PLC. We're doing 2.5 workshops, 2.5 hours of creative workshop development, and then we have another 3 2-hour ones.
And nothing is off limits for people, is it?
No.
You are an absolutely totally welcoming space for anyone.
Everyone is welcome, and everything's on the table. There's no filtering.
Is that liberating? To
absolutely,
be
because
like
I've
that?
Said to Tash and I've said to the actors, everything is on the table until we decide. We're still in negotiating. How is this woman going to be? Get the virus, or have a bit, how is she going to be infected? We're still negotiating how that can happen. There's many, many ways when you're creating an idea of which ways a story can go.
So tell me, in a workshop environment, are you going to be just sitting and listening? Will you be doing role plays? Will you get people moving? Will you do some meditation? I mean, what happens?
Well, we'll do like a physical warm-up, because it's physical theatre, this whole work. Physical warm-up, we'll get the body moving. We'll do some vocal warm-ups. So if people want to talk, they can talk. Basically, and then we'll do some trust exercises with the actors. And then we'll slowly lead into their personalized emotional experiences, because when you're talking, it's very confronting to confront a thought which has got fear attached to it, or shame, or guilt, or whatever you want to put on it.
Especially in a group environment.
Absolutely. So with the support of the wonderful actors I'm working with, well, we're collaborating with, they will help lead and shape and guide and support the community who comes in to be involved.
I'm sure you are, but I hope you are proud of what you are about to produce, because what you're doing, I think, is very brave, and it's also innovative and inclusive. I just think it's a wonderful, hope you are proud of it.
And this, I've got a question for you.
You might have to hold that.
Okay.
You're on Stand Up Straight on Joy. I'm nervous now.
You're listening to Michelle on Stand Up Straight on Joy 94.9. She's my mum.
We have Darren and Tasha in the studio with us, who are two of the creators, I think. And Tasha is one of the performers of Stigma, which is going to be part of Midsummer 2017. Go on.
You're my question.
Okay.
My dear Michelle, have you had a HIV test?
No, I haven't. And I actually was filled with a bit of shame before because we've got two ladies in the studio at different age, you know, quite different ages, and they've both done it. And I feel really bad that I haven't.
Now is the time.
And it's a shameful thing.
Well, it's just, isn't it interesting to have that question asked? And that's what we're also asking that question in this project.
And I'm curious to find out why they would, what they will ask of me, you know, 50-odd-year-old woman, why are you here?
Yeah.
I want to know what they ask me and what counselling or not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I want to say as well, I mean, I've talked about my experience and, you know, some of it which maybe wasn't so positive, so to speak, but I really do encourage people to go out. It didn't take very long, and if you talk to someone that you trust about it and you're supported, it's a really, you know, just a good thing to do, like we do with other health checkups.
It's positive sexual health and looking after yourself.
Taking responsibility and accountability.
Yeah, we all need to take responsibility.
So the dates are?
So the dates of the performances are at the Mama Theatre, the 30th, the 31st of January and the 1st of February. We've got a Q&A as well. So we're having a question, a Q&A on the Tuesday after the performance. The dates for the creative workshops are the 11th of December, 21st of December, 10th of Jan and 16th of Jan. So please email me from your Facebook page to get in contact.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having the thought and putting this piece together, and I really, really am thrilled to that you've been on the show tonight, and we look forward to seeing you in person. Thank you, Tasha.
Thank you.
Thank you, Darren.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you, Stephanie. Thank you, Clayton, across the desk. Up next is Family Matters. You may hear the young Stephanie for the next hour. You have been listening to Stand Up Straight on Joy 94.9. Daniel Whitehouse is our big guest next week. Tune in then.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.